B-Pod Studios.
Four o'clock hour. Brought to us by Landis Blog, your one-stop shop. Great draw dropping out there in paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. The Sixers have closed out their series. The Eagles are getting ready to draft, and the Phillies have lost 6-7. The bottom has dropped out. The hell is going on with the Phillies? Let's find out from the man who writes for The Athletic and covers baseball about as well as anybody can do it. He is brought to us, of course, by Xfinity. Stay connected during the biggest moments of every game with Xfinity Internet, delivering reliably fast speeds even during peak hours when everyone's online. Learn more at Xfinity.com. The one and only Jason Stark. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Mike.
Jason, what has happened? What is going on? His team is not playing good baseball.
How long is this segment? Last night was kind of rock bottom, right? They didn't pitch, they didn't defend, they didn't hit, they didn't focus. That was ugly. Outscored 18-2 the last 3 days. Thank God for the Sixers.
Yeah, and this was, we were supposed to worry about their offense, right? We're worried that they're pitching, but they were going to score runs. Now, I know a couple guys are out, but what's going on right now? What are the little clinks here?
Well, obviously, this is not the same lineup, right? That first 12 games when they were running the same lineup out there almost every day, they were averaging 6 runs a game. And the last 11 games since then, was the injuries have started to dot up. It's 4 runs a game. It's, you know, the OPS is down like 100 points, averaging 10 strikeouts a game. The quality of the bats has not been as good. The situational baseball has really been an issue, too.
Oh, well, let's talk about the second baseman, first of all. He's had it rough lately. Hernandez had a lot of mental mistakes. He let a ball go through his legs last night. I know they like him, but you know how when Kingery comes back, are they going to still like him?
I think it's safe to say if you're going to have them draw up a blueprint of the next 5 years, you'd see Scott Kingery's name written down at second base and not Cesar Hernandez's. They tried to move him this winter. It was really an impossible market to try to trade a second baseman because there were so many free agent second basemen. And I Scott Kingery's not going to be back for a while, but Cesar's on watch, right? He's a talented guy, especially on offense. But one thing about him, it took him a long time to develop any confidence as a player. And I've always thought that he reverts back when something goes wrong. You know, he'll have a few days where it just feels like he's playing in a fog, like he's unsure of himself. That's what we've seen. And, you know, the optioning of Nick Pivetta was a sign that they're not going to show patience with that anymore. Just not.
Well, Eflin had pitched well, and then last night blows up. I don't know what to say about that 3-4-5 anymore. And you know, they're hoping they can get through it. But let's talk about the couple lightning rod issues that happened this week. And the first one is Arrieta, and then we'll get to last night with Rhys Hoskins. What did you think of the Arrieta comments after the game?
You know, I told you last year after the outburst in San Francisco that I have no issue with Jake speaking out publicly. First of all, I work in the media, so they can all speak out publicly all they want. Bring that on. But beyond that, it's what he's here for. Not just to pitch, but to play with an edge and set a tone, and that's what he was trying to do. I would say my two little minor issues with this particular one was the one guy on their team who was showing emotion in that game was Bryce Harper, and it got him thrown out.
Yeah.
Even if a big part of that is on Mark Carlson, the umpire, that part of it didn't add up. The other part is that Jake made it about him when he said, "I need my guys behind me."
Yep.
He was going good till he got to that. But I do think there's some indications that, you know, that that room, the clubhouse, had no energy and no focus during that rain delay. So when the media marched in there after the game, pretty obvious Jake knew exactly what he wanted to say.
Yeah. See, I'm not down with it at all. And I'm not down with any pitcher
speaking about that, because pitchers give up hits, they give up home runs, they walk guys, and our fielder's supposed to lay the pitcher out after a game? That would be highly unorthodox, right?
Right.
So why does a pitcher have a license?
Well, that isn't quite what he was talking about, and I'll say this about Jake Arrieta, right? When he talks, he does own it. He has won. He's got a presence about him. He's got an edge about him. They don't have a lot of players who do that, who act like that, who talk like that. And I do think he feels it's his responsibility to speak up. You know, if you do it 30 after 30 starts, then that's too much. But if it's once a year, why is that a problem?
Well, speak up inside the clubhouse. It's just as easy to do that, isn't it?
Of course. And
apparently that's not what he did.
That's the one part of this that people seem to have a problem with, is that he did it to us. When waited for the cameras to point in his face, and that's when he did it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of different ways to send a message, and that's the way he chose. We're in the media. Yeah. Well, what's our problem with it?
Yeah, okay. All right. By the way, did they bring up Sean Rodriguez and send Gosselin out today?
They did not send Gosselin out. They sent Mitch Walding out, but
Mitch Walding,
they did bring up Sean Rodriguez. He's playing short tonight.
I see that.
They couldn't run Phil Gosselin out to play short anymore. And that's not his fault.
Yeah.
It's not what he does. But, I mean, he's also won for his last 14.
Yeah, it's not what Sean Rodriguez does either. So we'll see.
Well, he has played it.
Yeah.
He played a lot of spring training.
We'll see how that this works out for him. They're struggling right now. All right. Let me talk about last night. And they get waffled. And the Mets, I don't think there's any question, throw at Rhys Hoskins. What was your opinion? You're a dove in a lot of ways. I'm a hawk. Right? I see something like that happen, I'm getting drummed. If I'm Rhys Hoskins, I'm going out there to settle things.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of that.
I know you're not. But you can't. But see, here's the thing. This is happening to Rhys Hoskins a lot. And because he's such a gentleman about it, nobody gets a lesson. Stop doing it.
I think tonight is the indicator. Tonight is the payback. There wasn't a lot of fire shown last night by anybody. Rhys showed the most fire. I'm not really sure exactly what the code of conduct is anymore now that we're in the let the kids play era.
Once is okay. You throw twice at my head, that's enough. I got to go out. And I know I'm going to get suspended, but I got to turn that around.
There's two schools of thought. I mean, there's that you got to go to the mound, which almost nobody does now anymore. That's pretty much out the window.
Bryce Harper would, though.
He has. There is that option, but there's also the option to, you know, he's done a lot of staring at pitchers who've done that.
Yeah,
and I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe he's either got to go to the mound or act like it doesn't bother him. It's almost like by staring, he's inviting pitchers to keep doing it.
Yeah.
These are confusing times. They are. You're old school. Let's everybody roar to the mound. And
I'm old school when I've exhausted any other.
Let the haymakers fly. That's out.
No, when I've exhausted all other methodology, then I go. Now, how many times have they thrown into him? 20? They've plunked him. They've already hit him in the jaw. No, he gets thrown at all the time inside.
Well, he does. You know, part of that is he did foul a ball off his face.
Yeah.
And teams will exploit that if they think it's an issue. Mm. Now, you can call up his heat map, and you'll see it is the way to pitch him.
Yeah. I get that. Last night, the guy threw behind his head.
It couldn't have been more obvious what was going on with that pitch. And I don't understand why there were warnings. And then the next the 3-2 pitch was almost as bad, and nobody got thrown out.
Yeah.
Unless it's just they want to get the game over with at that point, which is probably what the umpires wanted to do.
All right, I got you. Is there any worry about Harper these days in the Phillies clubhouse?
He's really getting beat a lot with the fastball, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's late.
You know, he's 11 for his last 51, I think it is, the last 2 weeks. Five of the hits came in that one game at Coors.
Yep.
And, you know, I noticed something really odd about his swing plane. You know, I don't know how much people are into launch angle, but Bryce Harper's always been a guy with a 14, 15 degree launch angle. That's how he elevates the ball. That's where the home runs come from.
Yeah.
And this year, it's half of that. 6-7. He's at 8 now. It's that thunderous pop up last night. And it tells you his swing's different. And, you know, as long as he gets on base and they win, nobody pays much attention to it. But it's something to pay attention to now.
Are they paying attention to it? Is the hitting coach paying attention to that? Are they trying to work on it? Or
I mean, you know, he's not all about launch angle like some of these guys. And I don't know if that's a factor at all. But Bryce, when he hits the ball in the air, has an average exit velocity of 100. And that's elite stuff. But the swing and miss rate right now is much higher than usual. And the number of balls he's hit on the ground is much higher than usual. And again, these are things to watch. He's a tinkerer. He can get into these streaks. But it is something to watch because right now with all these guys down, they need them.
All right, Jason, good stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
Can't wait for tonight, Mike.
All right, bud. Yeah, it could be some fireworks. Jason Stark brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Why strike out with a boring soda when you can hit a grand slam with Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks available at your neighborhood store. Everfresh, nature's refreshment. And tonight, Vinny Velasquez gets the duty of payback. And we'll see what happens. Here's the lineup for tonight. McCutchen, Realmuto, Harper, Hoskins, Michael Franco hitting fifth again, Cesar Hernandez sixth, Sean Rodriguez, where are these desperate times, playing shortstop hitting seventh, Vince Velasquez will hit eighth, they're going to do it again tonight, with Roman Quinn hitting ninth. Yippee-yay.
You just got shut out. With doing it. And you come back with it one more time. You just got shut out doing it.
Come back with it. All right, let's go to Vicente on the cell. Vicente!
Hola, amigo, Mikey Miz.
Hola, Vicente. What's up, buddy?
I was so excited last night watching that unbelievable game. You know, Ben Simmons smothered Angelo Russell, and Joel Embiid was out of this world dunking. And unbelievable. How do you feel? How do you feel when you were watching the game live?
Oh, it was a mess, frankly. Yes. I mean, it was so one-sided, it wasn't even interesting.
And what happened when, in the beginning of the second quarter, you know, he dunked that ball and pointed the finger
at poor Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, he pointed at, too.
And do you agree that the referee should have penalized Embiid because of that?
Yeah, you can't taunt. It's a rule. You don't taunt. You can't taunt a player.
Okay. But, you know, it's the excitement of the game. You know, they're feeling powerful.
But it's a technical. Okay. You can't taunt.
But, you know, the five stars finally communicate in sync. They're complete sync.
Yeah, they are. I agree with that. It's one thing I learned about this. Now, again, it's the Nets, and they're not nearly as formidable, so we'll see what happens.
So I think, you know, the next series against the Raptors is doable. And I boldly predict that we will win in six games, just like the Sixers announcer, Mark Zumoff, predicted it.
He predicted Sixers in six?
Yes.
Zoo did? Really? When did he do that? Last night?
This morning.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
So, I do
well,
agree.
Listen, I think it's logical. If they win game one and then they close them out, game six would be the game at the Wells Fargo Center. They could win it. So I like the six. Yeah, I like the six better than the seven.
All right.
All right, Vicente, general knowledge for you?
Yes, please.
All right.
You know, you should have given me that parties because I'm going to party soon.
All right. You know? Let me give you this question. which of Santa's reindeer has a name that starts with a V?
Vixen.
That's correct. Vixen. Vicente closes it out. Another prize for him. Jeff and Erie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
What's going on, Jeff?
Well, I'm driving back to Erie, just past State College. I know you're all home.
I had a girlfriend who lived in Erie. I used to go up there and see her a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Yeah,
right.
It was always cold.
Well, that's the difference.
Huh?
That's
the difference. You got a bad cell, bro. That's it. All right, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we're talking about...
Let me put you on hold, because apparently in Erie, it's not clear. Mountain ranges out there, I guess. What? Right? What? I don't
know. Are there mountains in Erie? I've never been to Erie.
In Erie, there's lakes. Yeah, there's
lakes.
A lake.
Lakes, it should be clear. Don in Northeast. Don, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Don. Yo, Don.
Yo, Mike. What's up?
What's going on, man?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about John Crook and Jimmy Rollins announcing the baseball game.
Yes. What'd you think?
I think they should oust John Crook and get Jimmy Rollins in there.
You like Jimmy? You like his performance?
Yeah, John Crook can't get past the fifth inning without talking about food, man.
Without talking about food?
Yeah, he's always talking about food, something to eat.
Well, he's chummy. He's got he's the chummy guy with McCarthy. I think they work well together. Jimmy's a little, you know, Jimmy's very serious and analytically oriented.
Yeah, I think he's a little more intelligent. John Crook can't even get the words out.
Yeah, but Crook is popular because he's homie. He's, you know, he's like the homie broadcaster, chum guy. I think their broadcasting team's fine.
Yeah, I'm looking at Jimmy Rollins, though. I'm like,
yeah, well, we're not going to bounce Crook and put Jimmy in there. Crook's got a contract.
Yeah, I know that. Oh, that's just my beef, Mike.
Okay, it was only one game, though, with Jimmy, right? You ready to zip Crook for Jimmy in one game?
No, he did two.
Oh, Jimmy two games. Two. All right, two games. Yeah. he was good. I liked him, but you know, I think their booth is fine.
Yeah, I just like Jimmy in there.
All right.
Well, I don't appreciate all the food talk, you know, during the game.
All right. Well, it's kind of the Crook shtick. You want a channel knowledge question?
Sure, why not?
All right, here it is. 1990s movie co-stars. I'll give you two people that were in the movie. You tell me what the movie is.
Right,
so I give you Bill Pullman and Will Smith.
I can't think of that one, Mike.
Oh, sorry, man. It's Independence Day. Independence Day with Bill Pullman and Will Smith.
Yeah, he didn't really need a prize. He was miserable. He didn't need a prize. Nothing to make him happy.
I mean, that's Crook's whole shtick is like to be the chummy guy who eats hot dogs.
Who doesn't like food? Any person that doesn't like food is no friend of mine. You gotta like food.
Yeah, and it's part of Crook. He's kind of a portly guy, you know? So food goes with the whole shtick of Crook.
And food goes with baseball. If you're watching...
Crook is a guy whose whole profile is not to take himself seriously. And that works as a blend.
I enjoy it over
you have
baseball
a guy,
game.
And Jimmy's very serious. So, actually, I thought they bounced off each other pretty well.
I agree.
All right, 610-632-0975. Two lines are open. You can get in right now on the Mike Misnelli Show. It's General Knowledge Wednesdays. We still have a couple of entries left to win three. We have three left for the Kentucky Derby Party. So a right answer, General Knowledge, gets you the Kentucky Derby Party ticket and qualify for the big Trevor Noah concert. We're back after this, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Missinelli Show on radio and TV. It's time to update our Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, Miss Natalie Eganoff.
Alrighty, Mike, today's Twitter poll. Did the way the Sixers finished the Nets make you feel better about the Raptors series? Over 600 votes on this. 56% say yes, great defense. 26% say no, only the Nets. 18% say I don't know.
56%. That's higher than where I am right now, so I'll take it. I'm at 52. 52-48. Favorite of Sixers in this series.
That's where I'm at. I have fear of just one man on that roster. It's not Kawhi. It's that Siakam.
Yeah,
he's getting better at 100 miles per hour.
And really, he's tough to guard.
They don't really have a natural matchup for him.
Yeah, they don't. By the way, the Mike Missinelli Open, big golf tournament at Ron Jaworski's Downtown Country Club. It's sold out, and we're happy to say. For the 10th straight time, it sold out, and that's great because the proceeds will benefit the American Association for Cancer Research, the AACR, the world's first and largest cancer research organization, bringing together the greatest minds in cancer research to cure and prevent cancer. So when you're paying the entry fee, know it's going to a great cause. We're presented this year by Corona Premier, premium light beer for people looking for an elevated light beer experience. 2.6 grams of carbs, 90 calories. That's pretty good. You can also win a twosome by going to a ticket raid. Tonight, there's a ticket raid with Natalie Eganoff at the Post in Philadelphia. Nat, where's the Post again?
University City.
University City. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow, you'll be at Duffer's Pub in Concordville.
I think that's in Delco.
That is in Delco. It's right off 322.
Okay.
It's the near Cheney University.
Hmm.
7:30 to 8:30. Mm-hmm. I've been to Duffer's Pub.
Yeah, one of my friends' waitresses there on the weekends.
Yeah, it's a good spot. Mm-hmm. Very popular spot
for
people who live in that area. And next Wednesday, May 1st, you'll be at the Station Tap House in Doylestown. Going up there in Upper Bucks.
Yeah.
7:30 to 8:30. The only way you can get in this golf tournament is to win a twosome. And you'll have to do it at random.
Yeah.
We're giving away three twosomes, in other words.
Yes.
Okay, only three twosomes are left.
Yeah, and we're going to have other prizes and stuff to give away tonight as well. So even if you don't win the twosome, you can walk away with some prizes behalf of our promotions
department. Awesome. All right, so we have now, on General Knowledge Wednesday, we are giving the first 10 people with a correct answer a pair of general admission tickets to the Philadelphia Derby. It's Philly's premier Kentucky Derby party at the new Sunset Social Rooftop Bar in University City. That'll be on May 4th. Includes general admission for two, one free Blue Moon or mixed cocktail, live music featuring Go-Go Gadget, fancy hat contest, and much more. Tickets can be purchased on upcomingevents.com. And the grand prize today, at the end of the show, you may win a pair of tickets to see comedian Trevor Noah at the Met on Friday, May 3rd at 10 p.m. Those tickets are now on sale at Ticketmaster.com. So we have two qualifying prize winners left. Two Philly Kentucky Derby party tickets left. All right. Well, here we go. On General Knowledge Wednesday with Jeff and Erie is back with us. Jeff, you cleared up now?
I think so.
All right. We got you. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I was just, when you guys were talking about JJ going back to Brooklyn, it reminded me, I just watched that show about Wilt and the 100-point game.
Mm-hmm. He lived in New York.
He lived in New York.
Yeah.
After that game, he had to hitch a ride with two Knicks players to get back to New York City.
Yes, that is part of the lure of that game, yes.
Right.
Willie Knowles, I think, was one of them. I forget who the other one was.
Yeah, I never heard the names. I just thought that was a pretty good story.
Yeah.
He used to travel back and forth all the time to New York.
Yes, he did. Yeah, I found out where JJ lives in Brooklyn.
Hey, and the other thing I was going to say is, it seems like some Philly, ex-Philly athletes always have it in against the Philly teams.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard Charles Barkley, he was rooting, not rooting, but he pick the Nets. And, you know, the whole thing about Donovan, talking about...
Yeah, dude, we just... Your cell phone is just killing us today. I don't know what your second point was, but... yeah, I think that sometimes Charles can be an agitator that way. He can be anti-Philly.
Yeah, like, Raptors in five, I guess, fine.
Yeah.
But the Nets pick was egregious. And a lot of people nationally picked them, and now they're all...
That's probably Philly hate a little bit.
Yeah, like, why were the Nets going to beat them? Why? They couldn't give a reason. It was just
because
bad matchup.
Here's the thing. When you pick the Nets in an upset, it's like you go, okay, if it comes true, you're a genius. And if not, then people, you know, nobody cares anyway.
And now they double down, and automatically all those people that picked the Nets have to pick the Raptors.
Right.
Because you can't have new information and think,
now,
oh, they're better.
That said, you shouldn't be a rooter. And Charles Barkley shouldn't pick the Sixers because he played for them.
No, that's true, too.
Right?
Just say what you really think.
So this guy lives in Brooklyn, and he sees JJ all the time. He lives in the section down under Manhattan Bridge overpass section of Brooklyn, which is a very... very expensive. You know that section?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very expensive. A lot of corporate executives from Manhattan live in that section.
It is currently more expensive to live there than pretty much anywhere in Manhattan.
Yes.
It's more expensive.
So he lives in a penthouse.
Yeah.
Well, he made $23 million last year.
Yeah, and you get the people live there for the view of Manhattan from Brooklyn. You get the beautiful view and everything with over the water, but it's super pricey to live
there. It is. The guy says, I see him coming and going all the time. It's not a bad trip from Philly, especially if you live in his building. I would rush home to it, too. So apparently, he lives in a really nice building. But still, that's a two-hour commute. Isn't it?
People are claiming that the owner provides him with the helicopter.
Oh, the owner does provide him with a helicopter.
So he's good.
So what, he commutes every day?
Oh, I don't know if he, but I think
he's got to have a place that he lives down here.
Couldn't he be in one of those residential, like long-term residential joints?
I just got the information where he does. I won't say it.
Okay, but he has
a place in Philly.
Here.
He's got a place.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, let's go Woody in Atlantic City. Woody, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Woody.
Yo, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Woody?
Not a whole hell of a lot. How you been?
Good.
Listen, I was listening to Tyrone this morning, and he had two great points about how they could possibly win this thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that if Ben Simmons and MBB stars, that they possibly have a chance. But I think I'm going to take a little foot and say I want Ben Simmons to be more than a star.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got to have he's got to dominate at times.
Yeah, at times, because he has 24 turnovers against this ball club.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good.
No, it's not good, but he's got a better supporting cast now. He's got Tobias Harris on the floor now. Their rotation is a little different. It's a different team that's going to be playing Toronto.
Exactly. And my second thing is, I would like to see Jimmy Butler get off a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And if he did that, I think that would be...
Listen, he got off on the one game, right? Because they needed him to get off. But they've had adequate replacements when he's not getting off. It's like Tobias Harris is getting off now, which is, I'll say, it's either or for me.
Right.
One of them getting, you know, they all can't get off. You know, like Jimmy, what did Jimmy have last night? 7 points?
Nine
points. Yeah. All right. So they didn't need his offensive contribution as much. So Tobias took over. So, you know, it's an ebb and flow to the guy scoring points.
Right. And also, if they do that, and I'm a little upset that they lost. What's his name though?
What? Who? Scott?
Scott. Yeah, because that bench is gonna be real thin. Now.
Yeah, it didn't sound too optimistic. Brett didn't sound too optimistic on Scott playing in game one. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Well, Would you like a general knowledge question, Woody?
I don't know. Go ahead. It's
an Easter question.
I don't know that I can do it. Now, go ahead. I'm so old.
It's Easter. The person who betrayed Jesus for silver was named what?
Judas.
Yes. What's his last name?
I don't know.
We'll give you Judas.
I have no clue.
All right, hold on. Judas Iscariot.
That's right.
Jim and Blanchard. You're on 90. Oh, hold on a second, Jim. We're up against the break. We'll get you after the break. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly, back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Steel drums? Little steel drums?
Yeah.
I need a Caribe beer. Right here, steel drums.
Biddy sent a sample to me.
Caribe?
Yep. It's a pre-IMP.
Sure is.
All right. I want the Caribe beer.
Oh,
well, man. You can play steel drums.
What?
Kinetic deal of the week. Well, that's a good one. Round of golf. At six of Pennsylvania's premier golf courses for just $69. Man, that's a good deal. Treat yourself or treat dad for his big day coming up. Check it out now at 975fanatic.com. The keyword is deal. Hurry before they sell out. Let's get back to the phones with Billy in Springfield. What's up, Billy?
Hey, can I talk about the Eagles draft?
Sure, Billy.
All right. I believe that the Eagles should pick the best available players for their first three picks.
Best available player.
Yeah, and the draft
Available player is a quarterback, you would take that? If Kyler Murray is there, you would take him?
Well, let me finish what I have to say.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, so the middle linebacker position is the only position that has a poor starter. Mm-hmm. But the defensive line is really strong, strength-wise, mm-hmm. having Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham as defensive ends. So having a strong defensive line will help in the run support, which is the middle linebacker's primary job. The Eagles do end up drafting a middle linebacker who will only emphasize a good run support.
Yeah, but you need depth these days on the defensive line. Like you're talking about guys that can't play all three downs. They need a blow. So the more depth you have on your defensive line, the better off you are. That's the way they look at it. They don't value the linebacker position as highly as they would value an interior lineman position.
Yeah, I was saying that we shouldn't. I was saying that we shouldn't draft the middle linebacker because of having a good defensive line, and I also think the defensive line could get really have a lot of depth if we end up going for best available. Because I was hearing on TV that there's a lot of depth in this year's draft.
There is, and that's why they're probably going to take a defensive lineman. But from the nature of your call, I thought you were favoring a linebacker.
No. I was saying don't go for position, just go for best available.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, they don't go for position normally when it comes to linebacker. They will take a more highly rated player. The draft is deepest in the first round in the defensive line this year.
Yep.
All right, you want a general knowledge question, brother?
Sure.
All right, let's see. Where are we? Are we at geography, true or false? It's true or false. The majority of Polish people are Catholic.
False.
That's true. Poland's a Catholic nation.
Yeah, I know. In Trenton, they had a
Polish Catholic church?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Where they did the service in Polish.
Yep. I've seen. Yeah, there's all kinds of different Catholic churches, like Armenian Catholic Church, and I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my mother-in-law.
Right down the street from me, my Armenian Catholic Church. I was thinking of going in there one day just to see what that's like.
You should. They should be welcoming.
Yeah, they would be welcoming.
Probably be mm-hmm. all on Armenian, though, right?
Yeah, so you would just have to listen to the Mass in a different mm-hmm. language.
Yeah.
Well, at least you would know when to kneel.
I don't know.
Might as well have been an Armenian when I was there. I didn't know what to do. Well,
there's some cues. You might not catch the cues.
Do what I did and look at your neighbor and hope they're right. Because if your neighbor's wrong, you're screwed.
Well, sometimes you got to do that, man. You know, when to stand and kneel.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to John in McAdoo. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, John?
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
And this, I agree with Tyrone, what he just said before. Goose egg, same lineup. Now, they changed the rule. In baseball, the manager could just go four fingers and you get a walk, right?
Yes.
What if Kapler for the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th hitter just said, we'll take an out. You just think how quick the Phillies games would go. Because Hernandez can't get a hit. Quinn can't get a hit. The pitcher can't get a hit. And who knows who's playing shortstop now. They can't. That's four wasted outs, Mike.
You sound like you're bugged by the way the Phillies are playing right now.
They're killing me, Mike. Yeah, I've been a fan for over 40 years. They're killing me.
I can tell.
Let me ask you this, too.
Let me ask. McAdoo, that's up by Wilkes-Barre, right?
Yes.
Okay. I got you. I love the accent.
Thank you, Mike. Hey, let me ask you this. So, what did Pat Gillick always preach? You can never have too much pitching.
Uh-huh.
The Phillies have no pitching.
Yeah.
What are they waiting for?
Well, I know there's the one guy out there, still out there. He wants a little money. They're going to wind up caving. They're going to have to cave if they. But right now they're not hitting.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
You know, so I don't know what to tell you. I think the Phillies are going to be fine. I think this is just one of those ruts in the road. I think they're going to be fine. They're too good of an offensive team. When they get everybody back, they're too good of an offensive team not to score runs.
I agree. If Segura gets back and Kingery gets back and you have him in the starting lineup, they need Kingery in there.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll see if that's going to happen. Harper's got to start hitting again.
He will. He's a pro. He'll hit. Yeah.
All right, John. Nice hearing from you.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, buddy. I love that accent. I was playing golf with a guy last week from Rochester, New York. He was a friend of a friend that I play with all the time.
Yeah.
And he had that same accent. Big guy, like a lumberjack. Shows up in clogs.
Clogs?
What? What do you mean clogs?
In clogs and dark striped socks.
Like now, Crocs or clog clogs?
Like wooden clogs?
No, like the rubber clogs.
Oh.
Those type of clogs.
You're thinking of like the Holland clogs?
And I'm going, when you see a guy like that at the golf course, you go, oh, Jesus, what did I get into here? He shot 78.
Yeah, you're getting into a whooping is what you're getting into.
He shot 78. What?
He can't play in clogs, right?
He played in them.
Oh, he did?
He played in clogs.
How do you play golf in clogs?
He played in clogs and striped socks.
78, wear whatever you want.
Shoot 78.
Shoot 78. This guy's almost a pro.
Did they have the strap on the back or were they just slide-ons?
They were slide-ons.
He couldn't even get a good grip, he best said.
This is bad. He hit the crap out of it straight. I don't know. He had like a mismatched set of clubs. I'm going, there's absolutely no rhyme to golf at all. There are no rules at all. That shows up in clogs, mismatched clubs.
And just goes up
bang. In. 78. Nick and Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Nick?
Not much. I actually grew up in Philly, like the Fox Chase area.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to University of Toronto, so the last, I graduated in 2012, so the last, I got there in 2008, so 11 years now. I've been living in Mississauga, but I've been coming back and forth as a family in Philadelphia, so glad to hear the show. I follow you guys all the time.
Awesome, man. Thank you, Nick.
I just want to give you like the Torontonio.
Give us the flavor out there. What's going on?
Oh, my God. They love the Maple Leafs. They don't like, I mean, I don't want to say they don't like the Raptors, but the Maple Leafs, they can be stinking. I mean, the last couple years.
That goes without saying because they're the age-old team there, and it's the hockey country, so. But they do have, the Raptors have pretty good fans. I mean, they have supported that team pretty well.
I feel like you have more of a fan base. Well, I'm at Mississauga, so I'm like 10, 15 minutes outside of Toronto.
Yeah.
And I feel like the fan base there is a little bit better than Toronto, but still, I mean, I feel like they need to support the team more. But I'm a Sixers fan. I'm a 4-4 guy through and through.
Yeah, inside their building, it's pretty active. So, I can't. Yeah. You know, it might be like the third best sport that they follow because the Blue Jays are big up there as well.
Blue Jays are real big, and the Argonauts. I mean, just everything.
Yeah, the Argonauts. Forgot the Argonauts.
my question to you is, do you think Brett Brown's going to tighten his rotation up even more?
Well, he's got to change the rotation, so I don't know what he's going to do. He can't. We're talking today to him, and like the Boban thing is a problem now, so he may have to use Bolden in there and use Boban if he can, and then use Bolden and like extend the rotation. I don't know. I don't know what his rotation is going to be. I'm sure they're trying to figure that out now with all these meetings.
Definitely. Yeah, I think Nick Nurse is too, but I think they're in for a rude awakening with how Brett Brown's going to cook.
I think game one's the key. I think they can sting him in game one. If they do that, they win it in six.
I think Brett Brown can outcoach Nick Nurse, and just hearing that, you hear that from a lot of the fan base too. It's really, really exciting to hear. I'm just excited to hear real sports. I mean, the sports radio up there is God.
You got to get to a game, Nick, and represent.
I'm in Philly for the next week.
So damn.
Week and a half. Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to get to a game. Hopefully they play the home game sometime in the next week. So
game five.
I'm out of here. Well, the fourth. I don't know what day. The Saturday. I'm going back. Okay. So I'm home for a week and a half.
All right, brother. You have fun.
Thank you, sir.
All right, man. There you go. Yeah, the Raptors crowds are all right. They've embraced that team pretty well.
Yeah, that arena rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a tough go.
It's a newer sport for them, but they embrace it. 610-632-0975 as we roll into the 5 o'clock hour. All your phone calls and General Knowledge Wednesday continues. Mike Bisignelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.